Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Daily in the Word. The purpose of this program is to encourage God's people daily through God's Word. The message you're about to hear is based on Scripture that will encourage, challenge, and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I'm thrilled that you're tuning in today, and it's my prayer that you'll be encouraged by God's incredible Word. Thanks again for your prayers and your support. May God richly bless you today.
You know, a lot of Christians have lost the ability to stay unified, whether it's in our relationships at home, at work, at church, or in the community. Scripture instructs us to function as a team, to support one another, and to work together toward a common goal. That's why we are in a series entitled Striving Together. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series is designed to encourage Christians to work together as a team, to see people's lives transformed and the work of God accomplished. Right now, let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 20 and discuss how we can strive together faithfully for the Lord. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
What a great thing to consider the Spirit of God calling missionaries to go to other places to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Missionary movement did not begin with a denomination or a parachurch organization. It began in the heart of a church like this, where people were striving together for the Lord. Now, to get the context of missions, look, if you would, at Acts chapter 13 very quickly, or in your notes there, Acts 13, 1 and 2, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul." Now, this church at Antioch was an international church, people from all different cultures and backgrounds, and they were there together, a called out group of believers. Look at verse 2. It says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted." Now, let me just stop right there. They were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting. We're here worshiping the Lord today. We mentioned fasting earlier in the service. So we're following a New Testament pattern. And at the church at Antioch, they were worshiping the Lord, they were fasting, and it says, "The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So here we see people worshiping together, listening to the Holy Spirit together, and Paul and Barnabas being sent out together where they would faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's exciting to think about Christianity on the move, people striving together with faithfulness for the Lord. Now, some of you have studied the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. There's a map in the back of your Bible, something like the one here on the screen, that will help you realize the movement of the gospel westward. Starting with Antioch, Syria, Paul traveled to the island of Cyprus, over to the mainland of modern-day Turkey. He went up to Antioch, Pisidia, Iconium, and came to Lystra. And today we're going to learn about the ministry at Lystra, where the Apostle Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to learn that he went there with his friend Barnabas and the church of Antioch at Syria behind them all the way. They were striving together for the faith of the gospel. And they were friends for the gospel's sake. Now let me say by way of introduction, in this world in which we live, we don't always know who our real friends are. We sometimes have friends that we work with, friends we play softball with, friends we collect with, or whatever. But I believe today we're going to get a picture of the purpose of Christian friendship. I read in USA Today this past week about a woman by the name of Simone Back. Simone Back was a woman who lived in London, and she had a Facebook account with 1,048 friends. On her Facebook account, she would share little tidbits of information and tell what she was doing, and people would check in and so forth. Simone Back, however, on Christmas Day, just a few weeks ago, wrote on her Facebook account the following words: "I took all of my pills. I should be dead soon. Goodbye, everyone. Of her 1,048 friends, not one single one of them tried to intervene to save her life. Two or three of them goaded her to go ahead and to take her life. One of the psychologists that was interviewed by the USA Today paper said, and I quote, "I think the problem with Facebook is exactly what people love about it. Anonymity with no social responsibility. If someone posts something that doesn't interest you or you don't like or can't relate to, then you don't have to do anything. I think a lot of people use the social networking sites as a band-aid for real intimacy." What a tragedy that a woman with 1,048 friends committed suicide while nobody tried to intervene. Now, I realized this morning that sometimes Christians can disappoint. I realize sometimes Christian friends can disappoint. But I'm thankful this morning that we have the privilege as a called out assembly of believers to band together, to strive together faithfully this year for the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we do that with faithfulness and integrity in the new year. Well, after a wonderful ministry in the other cities, the Bible tells us in Acts 14 that Paul now comes to Lystra. And it was here that God was going to use him in a way that is amazing to behold. So let's dig into it this morning as we learn how to strive together faithfully for the Lord. Notice, first of all, that Paul and Barnabas were together in their purpose. They were together in their purpose. And I want you to see their purpose in verse 7. It says, "And there they preached the gospel." Now, would you read verse 7 with me? Ready, begin. "And there they preached the gospel." Look at those two words, "and there." That really describes their ministry. Everywhere they went, they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Paul said, "Wherever I go, I want my purpose to be gospel-centered. I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." And the word here, "preach," means to give glad tidings. Everywhere they went, they were preaching the word of God. What a blessing this year to band together, yea, to strive together for the same purpose. And whether we're giving in the offering, teaching a class, singing in the choir, encouraging our care group, whatever we're doing in ministry here, the purpose is for the good news, the word of God, going forward. So the purpose was to preach the word. Notice, secondly, the purpose was to publish good news. To publish good news. Now look at Acts chapter 13, verse 46. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Notice in verse 49, "And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." Now, would you say that verse with me, please? Ready, begin. "And the word of the Lord was throughout all..." We unapologetically state as our purpose to spread the word of God, to publish the good news throughout all of this region. Lancaster, Palmdale, Edwards, Acton, Mojave, Santa Clarita, everywhere publishing the good news. Whether that is with the distribution of gospel tracts like the ones that are in the foyer every single week, or whether it is right now the contract that we're working on to have New Testament copies of the Bible printed so that we can go from house to house with the gospel gift. We exist as a church and together for the purpose of preaching the word of God and publishing the good news throughout our region, even as Paul did throughout the region known as Asia Minor in his day. That's what he did in Ephesus. The Bible tells us in Acts 20 and verse 20, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." We are together in the purpose of publishing the good news and spreading the word of God as never before. The word of the Lord was published. May I say this? The message of salvation was delivered. Paul went from place to place to place, telling people you must be born again, telling people that Jesus Christ died for their sin. Notice that, if you would, in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, 3. Notice this. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Now let me pause right here. If you're seated here under the sound of my voice and you have never known that your sins are forgiven, and you do not know that heaven is your eternal home, you are not 100% sure that you are a child of God, you must hear me this morning. Jesus Christ died for your sins. And we must trust in Christ alone, for there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Please hear me today. The Baptist church cannot wash your sins away. The water in that baptistry cannot wash your sins away. No priest sprinkling you with water can take your sins away. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ have our sins been cleansed away. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse 3, Christ died for our sins, verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Thank God that we have the purpose of publishing that good news. My wife and I yesterday had the joy of going to a neighborhood and going from house to house, inviting people to church and giving the good news and asking people if they knew for sure that Jesus was their Savior. And as we went to one door, there was a sign on the front of the door, and it had the picture of something like a female statue, and it had some writing underneath the picture. And the writing underneath the picture said, Our Lady of Guadalupe, please protect this house. No doubt that was placed there with sincerity of heart. But I could not help but think, even 2,000 years ago, as Paul went to Lystra, he was ministering to people who worshiped pagan deities and worshiped female pagan deities. They prayed to the goddess of Aphrodite. They prayed in some cities to the goddess Athena, and they asked these goddesses somehow in their mystical way to bless and help and protect. And here we are 2,000 years later, and people are praying to ladies and asking so-called saints to protect them and to protect their house. And I say to you, if it was important 2,000 years ago to publish the truth of the gospel, it is still needed today that we would publish the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because my friend, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, he will be your protector, your rock, your shield, and your salvation. You won't need to ask the Lady of Guadalupe to protect you when you know Jesus is your Savior. You see. And so we strive together with this purpose to publish the glad tidings that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And Lancaster Baptist Church, we're marching into this year together in our purpose. But notice secondly, Paul and Barnabas were not only together in their purpose, but I want you to think of this with me. They were together in their persecution. I don't want to be pessimistic, but if you decide to march on for Jesus this year, if you decide to publish the good words of God this year, there will come days when people will not always be kind to you. There will be difficulties that come. And in this part of our message, we see that the Apostle Paul, despite his glorious mission, he was misunderstood, he was persecuted, he was stoned and left outside the city because of his faith for Jesus Christ. Now, how did that happen? Let's take a look at it. Notice, first of all, there is a demonstration of God's power at Lystra. The demonstration of God's power. Now, the Bible tells us in verse number 8, there was a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And I want you to just take a moment to let that sink in. Sometimes we hear about so-called faith healers. By the way, if there is a faith healer alive on the planet today, I wish they'd go to every hospital and get busy. Now, we believe that Jesus can heal. Don't misunderstand me. We believe the apostles had been given this power from the Lord himself. But we're not talking about someone who threw away their cane for an hour and had to pick it back up after the crusade. We're not talking about someone who was healed from something you couldn't substantiate. Look at what it says about this man. He was impotent in his feet. He was crippled from his mother's womb. He had never walked. In three different ways, the Holy Spirit says, this man had a real kind of a problem. But the Bible then says that when he heard Paul speak, Paul perceived his faith, and he said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, verse 10, and the man leaped and walked. And so we see here a demonstration of real power from God. Now, while we do not possess miraculous powers for healing today, there is an application. And the application is that all of us need God's power in our life and ministry. Whether it's soul winning, whether it's parenting, whether it's serving God, every one of us need to pray for a measure of the power of God to serve Him. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." My friend, I thank God that I serve a God who can do anything but fail. And that He has great power today to restore marriages, to build churches, to do His work in this era. I heard about a young boy that got on an airplane and he sat down next to a seminary professor. The young boy had his Sunday school notes in his lap, and the seminary professor looked at that and he thought he'd have a little fun. And he said to the boy, he said, "Son," he said, "if you can tell me one thing that God can do, I'll give you a shiny red apple." The little boy thought about it. He looked up at the man and he said, "Sir," he said, "if you can tell me something that God can't do, I'll give you a whole basket of apples." He was a young man persuaded of the power of his God. By the way, sometimes our children convict us because they believe God can do anything. And my friends, God can do anything. And we must rely on His power in ministry in 2011. The demonstration of God's power. Well, the man was completely healed. But I want you to notice, secondly, the deflection of false worship. Now, something really weird happens. And stick with me and follow with me in the Bible. Look at what happens. Verse 11. "When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.'" Now, remember a minute ago, I said that the people at Lystra and in the first century were very superstitious. They worshiped the pagan gods, Zeus, Apollo. They worshiped in these temples made with stones of man's hands. And so apparently there was some folklore at Lystra that the gods of Zeus and Hermes would come down to them incognito, and that they were to be watching all the time for these gods to arrive. And so the Bible says they supposed Barnabas was Jupiter and Paul was Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. And these people come and they begin to worship Paul. In fact, notice it says in verse 13, they brought oxen and garlands to the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Here we see false worship ascribed. They're going, "Wow, they healed this man. Let's worship Paul and worship Barnabas." But notice, if you will, false worship rejected. Verse number 14, the Bible says, "Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, 'Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God.'" Now listen very carefully. If Paul wanted, and if Barnabas wanted a life of ease, they could have had it at Lystra. They could have stopped right there and said, "Barnabas, look at this. They think we're gods. They're bringing us food. They're worshiping us. Maybe they'll give us everything we'd ever wanted." If that was what motivated them, they could have had it made, because these superstitious people thought these guys were like pagan gods. But there was something much more important to the Apostle Paul and Barnabas as they were striving together. The thing that was more important was that they would be faithful to the truth of the Word of God. And so when they saw what was going on, they rent their clothing, which was a Jewish sign of rejection of what was happening. And they said, "We will not take this worship, and we will not take your praise." And they deflected the praise back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Humbly, they continued serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." And he said to them, "You must turn from your vanity." Why? Because any religion without Christ is a vain, empty religion. And so it was. The demonstration of God's power was real. The man was healed. The deflection of praise was real. They said, "Don't worship us, worship Creator God." But notice, thirdly, the danger of preaching Christ. Remember being together in persecution? I want you to see what happens here to Paul in verse 19, an amazing turn of events. Acts 14, 19, please. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium," those were the earlier cities on the journey, "who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, please put this in your mind. The same people who were saying, oh, Paul and Barnabas, you're the great hope and you're the great healers and bring the calf and bring the garland. The same people who were worshiping now are picking up rocks because some troublemakers came, and now they're stoning the Apostle Paul and leaving him outside the city for dead. These Facebook friends who were curious but not really loving the man, who were curious but not really loving the Lord, when the time came, they were easily turned. And I want you to recognize in your Christian life, don't be discouraged from time to time as you're trying to live for the Lord. If sometimes people that you thought were your friends will not be your friends like they once were, especially because you are trying to stand for the Lord. For the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What a tragic moment. The Apostle Paul, who was just trying to preach the gospel, is taken now, and rock by rock, his bones are breaking. The blood is coming out. He's thrown outside of the city. They left him there. They thought he was dead. And I might tell you that that was the way of many Christians in the first century. Some of you have heard of Titus. Have you ever read the book of Titus in the New Testament? Titus was a preacher boy, if you will, of the Apostle Paul. Titus was sent to the island of Crete, one of the southernmost islands of Greece. And as he was sent there, Paul said, Titus, I want you to set in order the things that are wanting. I want you to take care of the churches there. And so Titus went and he preached and preached and preached. And he preached there until 105 AD. He died at the age of 94, a faithful preacher of the Word of God. Well, some years later, in fact, about 146 years later, a man by the name of Trajan Decius was sent from Rome. He was to be the governor over Crete, and as he went in as a Roman appointed governor to the island of Crete, he made an edict for the suppression of Christianity. And he said to the bishops or pastors at Crete, he said, I want every one of you to come and make a sacrifice to the emperor of Rome. And so these men, the second generation descendants of Titus, they were called to make sacrifice to Rome. And listen, they refused to make sacrifice to Rome as men of God. And for that, they were martyred. And to this day, you can read the history of Crete and you'll read about the 10 insurmountable martyrs.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled Striving Together. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. You can also visit lancasterbaptist.org for a list of other services. Pastor Chappell has a new book now available entitled Out of Commission. You'd be hard-pressed to meet a dedicated Christian who doesn't say the greatest work on earth is evangelization. This book is an invitation to examine why we don't witness for Christ as we should, why our local churches are neglecting evangelization and discipleship, and how we can get back to making Christ's last command our first priority. Written for every Christian who desires to obey the Great Commission of Christ, this comprehensive volume is motivational and practical. Whether you are new to evangelism or an experienced Christian, Out of Commission will challenge and equip you to share your faith and more effectively reach your community for Christ. You can find out more about this book, Out of Commission, when you visit dailyintheword.org.
Stress, fear, anxiety, perfectionism. We all carry burdens, sometimes personal, sometimes for others. From the heart of Pastor Paul Chappell comes a modern-day allegory refreshingly woven through scriptural truths. We who know the burden bearer need to let him carry our loads. Follow the story of a lifter who laid his burdens down. Discover how to cast your cares on Jesus and serve joyfully in his yoke. Gain perspective. Discover strength. Increase your faith. Release your load. The Burden Bearer by Paul Chappell, available through Striving Together Publications.
We realize sometimes interruptions can happen when you listen to these studies.
but you can hear what you missed by going to our website at dailyintheword.org. Today's full broadcast is available there. In fact, you can even download an MP3 and listen at your own convenience. Either way, it's free of charge. We hope that you'll remember it's your support that keeps these studies coming your way. I encourage you to jumpstart your day with inspirational messages from Pastor Paul Chapel. Sign up now and receive daily devotionals emailed directly to your inbox. Whether you are home, at the office, or on the go, make God's Word a part of your day. You'll be encouraged, challenged, and energized to grow in your relationship with God every morning. Visit dailyintheword.org and register for your free daily devotionals from Pastor Chapel today. Friend, if you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748, or you can visit our website at dailyintheword.org and click on the Truth About Eternity link. We would love to hear from you as a listener and know that Daily in the Word is touching your life. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org. There you'll find links to Pastor Chapel's newest resources, his blog posts, recent podcasts, and many other resources that will encourage you in your spiritual growth. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.